Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into the strategic thinking of the Center for Sustainable Finance, Toitū Tawa. You'll often hear them called CSF. We've managed to get hold of their FY26 Strategic Refresh document. Now, this is currently being shared with their partners for discussion, so it gives us a really interesting kind of look under the hood at where they're planning to focus their efforts going forward.
Exactly. And this document, it's intended for discussion right now in May 2025, so it's not, you know, the absolute final word. But it's definitely a crucial indicator of the direction CSF sees itself moving in. It's a good chance for us to understand their evolving priorities in this whole very important area of sustainable finance.
Right. And just for a bit of background, CSF was set up back in 2021. They had a pretty clear mission then.
Yeah.
To help make the 2030 vision of the Sustainable Finance Forum a reality, basically following the roadmap they'd already laid out.
Hmm.
And it's probably worth remembering, the forum itself was an initiative of the Aotearoa Circle.
Mm-hmm. A group really dedicated to sustainable development here in New Zealand.
Mm.
So yeah, CSF is definitely building on some significant groundwork.
Yeah.
And their focus is quite specific, isn't it? They're not just sort of generally advocating for sustainability.
Yeah.
Their lens is firmly on the financial system itself. You know, how can financial decisions, financial structures be reshaped to drive better environmental and social outcomes? That's really the core question they seem to be tackling.
Okay. So in this deep dive, what we're going to do is trace the path of CSF's strategic evolution. We'll explore the proposed shifts in their big picture goals, their vision and mission. Then we'll look at the changes they're considering for their day-to-day, well, their core activities. And finally, we'll zoom in on some of the key work packages they're developing, particularly focusing on what this all might mean for how finance and sustainability intersect right here in Aotearoa.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the foundations.
Great.
Their vision and mission and how they're thinking of tweaking them. Okay, so looking at their current documents for FY2425, their vision is stated as an equitable, inclusive financial system that enables a resilient, sustainable Aotearoa, New Zealand. And their purpose: advance a financial system that is more resilient, inclusive, robust, and agile through the incorporation of environmental, social, and economic considerations in financial decisions. So, you know, a pretty comprehensive starting point, I'd say.
It is, yeah. It sets a broad stage. But when we look at the proposed vision for FY26, you can see some really specific additions coming through. It still talks about an equitable, inclusive, and resilient financial system, sure. But now it explicitly says this system should empower market participants to, and I'm quoting here, mobilize and direct capital flows towards building a low-emissions Paris-aligned future, restoring nature, and upholding the rights and interests of indigenous peoples of Aotearoa and New Zealand. That feels like a much sharper set of objectives, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. What's fascinating is that increased granularity. The original vision was broad, like you said, which is kind of understandable for a relatively new organization finding its feet. But this proposed FY26 vision, it signals a strategic deepening. Mm. The explicit mention of a Paris-aligned future, well, that directly links their work to global climate goals, doesn't it? Specifically, limiting global warming.
Right.
Then restoring nature and upholding the rights and interests of indigenous peoples. That points to a growing recognition of how interconnected environmental sustainability, biodiversity, and social equity are, particularly in the New Zealand context. These additions probably reflect, well, both increasing societal awareness and maybe a more mature understanding within CSF itself about where the financial system can actually have the most significant positive impact.
That makes a lot of sense, moving from those foundational principles to more targeted impact areas. Okay, and the mission statement is also up for discussion, it seems. For FY26, they're looking at two slightly different versions. The first one is, align financial market settings, initiatives, and leadership with our vision of an equitable, inclusive, and resilient financial system by 2030. And the second option is very similar, just flipping the start. By 2030, align financial market settings, initiatives, and leadership with our vision. Feels like the core idea is the same, just a subtle difference in where the emphasis lies. On the time frame, maybe. What's your take?
Yeah, that slight variation in wording is interesting. The first option, starting with a line, really emphasizes the active, ongoing nature of the work, perhaps. The second one, kicking off with by 2030, puts that target date right up front. But Ultimately, both versions really underscore CSF's intention to be a driving force, you know, shaping the financial market to hit that vision within this decade. And it's crucial to remember, as the document points out, CSF operates as an independently governed charitable trust. They don't have members like, say, an industry association. Their influence really comes from the expertise on their board, the strength of their partnerships, and their links into the international sustainable finance world. That independence probably informs how they approach setting and pursuing their mission.
Okay, so we have a clearer picture of where CSF wants to go. Now, let's dig into the how. What changes are they proposing for their core activities? What will they actually do?
Right. In FY2425, their work was built around four key pillars. These were delivering industry guidance, driving enabling policy and regulation, catalyzing collaborative solutions, and monitoring and communicating progress. And we've seen some concrete examples of this, haven't we? Like their Starter for 10 guide for people new to sustainable finance, their big piece of work developing the NZ taxonomy, that classification system for green activities.
Yes, the taxonomy.
Uh-huh. And the Aotearoa New Zealand Stewardship Code, promoting responsible investment, plus their ongoing efforts to track sustainable finance progress across the country.
Right, a pretty comprehensive set of activities there. Mm-hmm. Now, for FY26, these four areas basically remain, but there's one notable shift in the wording and maybe the focus. Catalyze collaborative solutions is proposed to change to accelerate market-led solutions.
Yeah.
That sounds like more than just swapping out a word. What are the potential implications here? Does this signal a change in focus?
That's a really good observation. I think that move from catalyze to accelerate does suggest a potential evolution in CSF's role. Catalyzing kind of implies initiating things, fostering new collaborations, acting as a convener maybe. Accelerating market-led solutions, though, that likely points towards a bigger emphasis on identifying and scaling up initiatives that are already getting some traction within the financial market itself.
Ah.
It could mean a more direct focus on removing roadblocks, providing targeted support, and maybe fostering an environment where commercially viable, sustainable finance solutions can, you know, thrive and expand more quickly. It makes you wonder if they see the market as having more inherent momentum now in certain areas.
That's a key difference, isn't it? So the four proposed areas for FY26 are deliver industry guidance, drive enabling policy and regulation, accelerate market-led solutions, and monitor and communicate progress. And under these headings, we see some updated examples. For industry guidance, they mention things like a consolidated catalog of refined residential solar guides and tools, and also work on showing the link between credit risk, resilience, and residential electrification. These seem quite specific, much more so than the earlier Starter for 10.
Exactly. That shift suggests a move towards more targeted, practical guidance, focusing on specific technologies like solar and their financial implications right down to the household level. By providing, say, refined tools for residential solar, they can directly support the uptake of renewable energy. And exploring that connection between credit risk and resilient, energy-efficient homes, well, that could potentially influence lending practices down the line.
Okay. Then, in terms of driving policy and regulation, the NZ taxonomy is still clearly central, but the focus now includes development and uptake. And the NZ sustainable finance strategy shifts towards market engagement.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to indicate a move beyond just creating these things to actually getting them implemented and adopted more widely.
Precisely. It's not just about building the frameworks anymore. It's about making sure they're understood, that they're used, and that they actually have a real impact on how financial decisions get made across the market.
Right. Now, when we look at that shift from catalyze to accelerate, the examples are particularly telling, I think. The broader stewardship code and accelerating novel financing solutions from FY2425 are followed by more targeted proposals for FY26. Things like accelerating bank finance for clean energy, and they specifically mention residential and commercial industrial sectors. Plus, scoping challenges and opportunities for nature-based solutions, and even a demonstration project finance for nature. This really seems to underline that increased focus on specific sectors and outcomes we talked about earlier. Why do you think they're favoring this more targeted approach now?
Well, this more focused approach probably reflects a strategic decision, maybe concentrating their resources where they think they can have the most direct, the most measurable impact. By targeting specific sectors, like banking for clean energy, they can tackle key bottlenecks in the transition to a low emissions economy. And that dedicated focus on nature-based solutions and project finance for it aligns perfectly with the stronger emphasis on ecological restoration in their proposed new vision. It suggests a move towards tackling specific barriers and trying to unlock capital flows in areas they see as critical for hitting those broader sustainability goals.
Okay. And finally, In monitoring and communication, the Sustainable Finance Progress Tracker continues, which is good for continuity, but they're proposing to add key indicators for capital flows and also a partners hub. This suggests maybe a desire for more detailed data on where sustainable finance is actually going and perhaps a more tailored way to communicate with their collaborators.
Yeah, I think this evolution in monitoring and communication is pretty crucial for accountability and for effectiveness, too. Tracking capital flows gives you concrete data to see how things are progressing and to spot areas that need more attention. And a dedicated partners hub that could really strengthen collaboration, help share knowledge, and make sure their whole network is well-informed and pulling in the same strategic direction.
Okay, so we're getting a much clearer sense of the evolving strategy. Now, the document goes deeper into specific work packages that are under consideration by the Ministry for the Environment. It lays out three scenarios. Work Package 1, which is the most comprehensive, it covers energy, nature, and taxonomy. That is Work Package 2, focusing just on taxonomy. And Work Package 3, which addresses energy and taxonomy. Given that Work Package 1 is the broadest, let's really dig into some of its proposed projects. It should show how all these pieces we've discussed fit together.
Right. Work Package 1 essentially outlines a whole series of interconnected projects, and it clearly maps out the links between, you know, the big government priorities, CSF's own strategic focus areas, the specific CSF projects designed to address these, the activities they'd undertake, the tangible outputs they expect to produce, the desired outcomes for CSF itself, the anticipated market outcomes, and then the ultimate overarching goals they're aiming for. It's a very detailed and integrated way of looking at it.
Let's look at some concrete examples from the document to really bring this to life for you listening. Under the heading Energy Finance Debt Commercial, one of the stated goals is for banks incorporate risk transfer mechanism into financial products to drive increase in uptake. Okay, and the corresponding CSF outcome is facilitating a streamlined lending process with banks. The specific outputs listed are things like a scoping and validation report, a document outlining roles and responsibilities for the ECA Energy Savings Guarantee, and a post-project review. This is very specific, very action-oriented.
Yeah.
Can you maybe explain why this focus on risk transfer mechanisms is so important in this context?
Sure. What's key here is understanding the barriers that often stop commercial clean energy projects getting financed. Banks sometimes see these as riskier bets. A risk transfer mechanism, like that EECA Energy Savings Guarantee they mentioned, essentially reduces the potential downside for the lender for the bank. So by developing a streamlined process for banks to use this guarantee, and by clearly defining who does what, CSF aims to make these projects more attractive to financiers, which should, in theory, increase the flow of capital into commercial clean energy. The outputs, those reports, and documents are the practical steps towards getting that streamlined process in place.
Got it. Okay, moving to energy finance debt residential, we see a key output being that consolidated catalog of refined residential solar guides and tools we mentioned earlier. And the anticipated market outcome is increased utilization of applicable green finance products, which directly supports the broader goal of doubling renewable energy use. This seems straightforwardly about making it easier for homeowners to understand and access finance for solar power.
Exactly that. Often, you know, homeowners can feel a bit overwhelmed by all the information out there on solar tech and the different financing options. A consolidated, refined catalog just simplifies things, makes it easier for them to navigate the landscape and find green finance products that actually suit them. Reducing that friction can then lead to more people taking up these products, which contributes to those bigger renewable energy targets.
Okay. Now, this project on energy finance equity, energy as a service platform, looks particularly interesting. It's designed apparently to connect large-scale capital with smaller-scale projects, and they specifically mention Marais, farms, and schools. And there's an ambitious target. Launch an investment platform with assets over $10 million by FY27288. This sounds like it could really unlock funding for those community-level clean energy initiatives that might otherwise struggle to get investment. What's the potential here?
Oh, the potential is significant, I think. Smaller community-based projects often face real challenges getting traditional finance, maybe because of their scale or perceived risk. An energy as a service platform basically bundles these projects together, making them more appealing to larger investors looking for scale.
Right.
This not only provides a crucial funding pathway for these initiatives, letting them adopt clean energy solutions, but it also opens up opportunities for impact investing, you know, aligning financial returns with community benefits. Hitting that $10 million asset target would be a really significant milestone, a proof of concept.
Definitely. Okay, turning our attention to the taxonomy work. A key goal mentioned is for the NZ taxonomy to achieve international recognition, specifically for market access. The planned expansion includes the energy sector, the built environment, and transport. And importantly, they're adding adaptation and resilience criteria. Why is that international recognition and the inclusion of adaptation so important?
Well, international recognition of the NZ taxonomy is vital, really. It helps New Zealand businesses that are seeking green finance from overseas investors. And it also ensures our sustainable finance market aligns with global best practices. It can make cross-border investment flows easier and just enhance our credibility internationally.
Okay.
And adding adaptation and resilience criteria, that's very forward-thinking. It acknowledges that we don't just need to cut emissions. We also have to prepare for the climate change impacts we know are coming. By defining what counts as a sustainable activity in terms of adaptation, like, say, infrastructure designed to withstand sea level rise, the taxonomy can actually guide investment towards building a more resilient economy overall.
Right. Shifting to nature-based solutions, financing adaptation and resilience, we see outputs like a barriers report and a recommendations report. The aim seems to be informing the national adaptation framework and getting alignment within the insurance sector. They're also proposing a resilience roundtable discussion. This really signals a growing understanding of the critical role nature plays in our ability to adapt to climate change, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Nature-based solutions, things like storing wetlands for flood control or planting forests to stop erosion, they often offer cost-effective and usually more sustainable ways to boost resilience. That barriers report will be crucial for figuring out what's stopping investment flowing into these solutions right now, and the recommendations report will hopefully propose ways to get past those barriers. Engaging the insurance sector is particularly strategic, I think.
Why them specifically?
Well, they're right on the front lines, aren't they? Paying out for climate-related damages. So aligning their understanding and their practices with nature-based solutions could potentially unlock significant investment in that whole area.
Makes sense. Okay, finally, under monitoring sustainable capital flows, the collaboration with the Climate Change Commission really stands out. The goal is achieving alignment on key metrics and establishment of data capture pathways. Why is getting this data alignment so crucial?
Because reliable, consistent data is basically the bedrock of effective sustainable finance. Simple as that. Without it, it's really hard to track progress properly, to understand the impact of different initiatives, or to identify where more effort is needed. Aligning on key metrics with a credible body like the Climate Change Commission ensures a consistent, trustworthy approach to monitoring where sustainable capital is actually flowing. And establishing clear ways to capture that data is just as important for actually getting the information needed to inform future strategies and policies.
The document also touches on government SF strategy engagement. They propose actions like creating a dedicated web page, monitoring an email address, providing regular updates, all to facilitate market input into the government's own sustainable finance strategy. This proactive approach to getting feedback seems important for making sure the strategy lands well and is effective.
Oh, definitely. Proactive engagement with the market is essential for any government strategy to succeed, especially in a field as complex and fast-moving as sustainable finance. By creating accessible channels for feedback and showing they're committed to incorporating market perspectives, the government can foster much greater buy-in. It helps ensure the strategy is practical, relevant, and ultimately creates a more stable and supportive environment for sustainable finance to actually grow.
Beyond these main work packages, there's also a brief mention of potential CSF establishment support for Rauawa. That's the National iwi Chairs Forum Investment Initiative. This hints at a possible future direction, aligning sustainable finance efforts more closely with Māori economic development principles.
Yeah, that's a significant indicator, I think. It shows a growing recognition of how important partnership and alignment with Māori values and aspirations are within this whole sustainable finance picture. Supporting initiatives like Rauawa could be a really key step towards a more inclusive, more culturally responsive approach to sustainable economic development in Aotearoa.
And the document doesn't shy away from showing its work-in-progress nature. It includes a section with strategic questions posed directly to partners.
Mm.
They're asking for input on everything from the proposed vision and mission to CSS's own strengths and weaknesses, the importance of focusing on nature, and how to prioritize activities within that big work package one. It really highlights that this is a live document meant to spark discussion and gather feedback right now.
Exactly. Those questions are a clear sign that CSF genuinely values the input and expertise of its partners. By actively asking for feedback on these key strategic areas, they can help ensure their final strategy is well-informed, reflects diverse perspectives, and is really focused on the areas where they can have the biggest and most lasting impact.
Finally, the document lays out the next steps and timeline. There are key dates for input from government agencies and CSF partners happening through April and May 2025. CSF board meetings are scheduled throughout that period. There's a discussion planned with the Ministry for the Environment in May, and they anticipate publishing the final FY26 strategy in late June 2025, followed by their FY25 annual report in July. So it provides a clear roadmap for how the strategic refresh is expected to unfold over the next couple of months.
Yeah, that timeline is helpful context. It shows this is very much an active process with clear milestones leading up to the finalization and public release of their updated strategy.
Okay, so to try and bring it all together then, what we're seeing in this proposed FY26 strategic refresh for the Center for Sustainable Finance is a signal of a more explicit commitment, particularly to nature and the rights of indigenous peoples within their main vision. There's that planned shift in their activities towards accelerating market-led solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And their work packages look like they're becoming increasingly focused, more concrete, targeting key areas like energy finance, the NZ taxonomy development and uptake, with that new emphasis on adaptation and resilience and dedicated initiatives to finance nature-based solutions.
Absolutely. CSF is clearly building on its foundational work. It looks like they're deepening their engagement in specific sectors and aligning their activities more closely with both government priorities and what the financial market actually needs as it evolves. Their comprehensive approach integrating guidance, policy work, and those targeted projects that still seem central to their strategy for pushing sustainable finance forward in New Zealand.
And as the financial world increasingly has to recognize and respond to environmental and social needs, understanding the strategic direction of organizations like CSF offers you, our listener, really valuable insight. Insight into the future of investment and economic development right here in Aotearoa and New Zealand. It really prompts us all to think about how these proposed priorities might reshape the opportunities and maybe the challenges we'll face as we collectively work towards a more resilient and sustainable future. You know, what new avenues for capital might open up? What innovative financial tools might gain traction? These are the important questions to keep in mind as CSF's strategy takes its final shape and starts to roll out.